welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message.
We have a special treat for you today. A number of years ago, I was pastoring in Salem, Oregon, and I was in a season where I was really longing for some friendships that would really just be a life-giving and encouraging thing in my life, and so I was praying and asking the Lord for friends, and I met this guy named Reed Saunders, and Reed and I became just like instant friends. I mean, just spent a lot of time together, you know, whether it was having lunch together, golfing, or even greater, we got to then go overseas together and serve in Thailand. Reed is an evangelist, and you'll get to hear more about his ministry this morning. He has a ministry that has reached many, many people through the years, and one of the roles that Reed has played in my life is he's been a friend who has helped me to learn how to love people like Jesus does, but also he's helped me to have a fresh appreciation for the gospel and what the gospel is all about. And I believe this morning that as you hear from Reed, you're going to be encouraged in some powerful ways. And so this morning, before he comes, though, I wanted to show a little clip of his ministry. A little bit later in the service, I'm going to ask us to receive a special offering to bless their ministry later on in the service. But I wanted to just get a glimpse of what he and his ministry are doing around the world. So go ahead and take a look.
All right. Good morning. All for Jesus, huh? Woohoo! You know, you can tell I get pretty excited when it comes to telling people about Jesus. In fact, it reminds me of this time I was in Africa, and I was preaching to a bunch of young people, and I wanted to see these kids give their lives to Jesus, so I was giving it everything I had, right? I get done with my message, I look over at my poor translator. The guy's literally down on one knee, he's sweating, he's flat out exhausted, and he looks up at me and he says, "Brother Reed, you're not too fast, you're three fast." So I'll try not to be three fast with you as I share this morning. But this is the day the Lord has made, right? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so excited and honored to be with you. I love Abe and Stacy, and it's mutual. Abe's one of my closest friends, and I just love that he's here serving with you. And we miss him in Salem, Oregon, but we're glad he's here with you in Frederick, Maryland. And I'm just excited to be with you. You know, my passion is telling people about Jesus. And so I want to encourage you this morning to reach out, not freak out, when it comes to being a witness for Christ. Let me ask you two questions as we get started this morning. Question one, have you ever had a bad day? Question two, have you ever thought maybe this is the day you're going to die? Well, I had an emphatic yes to both questions on one of our trips to Thailand. Abe's been with me to Thailand. This was a different trip. But apparently people say if you go to Thailand, you got to ride an elephant. Now, I didn't know that at the time, but you got to ride an elephant. You know, I think a little Dumbo, but okay, we'll ride an elephant. So our team was passing from one festival site up from Chiang Mai to a different area called Chiang Rai. In Thailand, and there's this elephant park, and I was like, come on, Reed, let's stop, let's go on an elephant ride. I'm like, okay, great. So we're waiting our turn through this elephant ride. It's this nice little beautiful park, you know, you get on an elephant, you go through this nice little walking area. It's supposed to be pretty relaxing and cool, but not our elephant. So apparently we get this King Head Hacho, the head elephant of the whole entire camp. And I guess he was having a really bad day. So we get on the elephant, it's myself, my friend, and then there's a gentleman who works with it kind of on the front of the, the elephant's nose. We get on this elephant, we start going right away. This elephant sees another elephant who apparently, I think it owed it some peanuts or something, but it was pretty ticked off. So it goes running after the other elephant, rams it right in the back, just drills it. The elephant that we hit goes up on, you know, two legs, you can see it up here, and it's like shouting off his trunk. In fact, the whole elephant park, everyone was shouting out their trunks, just like, fight, 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 fight. It was crazy. So, like I said, we go this nice way, but apparently the elephant we hit was so freaked out, it starts running up into the jungle. And our elephant that we're on chases after it. This is crazy. Now, I hate snakes. I hate snakes. And I'm thinking, if I jump to my left, I'm going to get bit by some cobra. To the right was this sheer cliff. I'm thinking, this is over. I'm going to die. So the elephant's chasing after the other elephant. And if you've seen Jurassic World, this was literally a scene of Jurassic World. The elephant that we hit was stampeding. Everyone's screaming. They're running for the exits. It's chaos. It's crazy. Finally, our elephant, it's big. It was out of shape. I'm so thankful. It finally stops down. It's catching its breath. And this is a scene out of Natural Geographic. I kid you not. All of a sudden, the bamboo in the jungle opens up, and here's this guy come out with this huge spear in his hand. So I took my friend and said, hit him, not me. I didn't do that, actually, but I was, like, freaking out. So he did. I said, don't throw the spear. So anyway, our elephant finally calmed down. They get it back to the park, and this is the classic moment, right, where the owner's freaking out, comes running up to us and says, I'm so sorry about that elephant. Here, we have this other elephant. It's very nice. You can ride it for free. And I said, for free? I want to flee. This is crazy. So anyway, I survived that day, obviously. And I tell people all the time, listen, I have no problem dying for Jesus. No problem. I'm just really scared to die slowly for Jesus. And at that moment, I thought, this is it. But you know, when I was on that elephant screaming like a teenage girl at a Justin Bieber concert, I remembered, you know what? Life is short. Life is short. But you know, the Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation. And really, my prayer for you, when you realize that life is short, how can you, God use your life to make a difference for eternity? And so my prayer for you this morning, I love what the Bible says in Philemon verse 6. Paul says, I pray you may be active. Say active. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. My friends, you and I have the greatest news of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. The fact that he died on the cross for our sins and then he rose again from the grave. How many of you believe that Jesus alone is the way to heaven? Huh? Amen? How many believe that Jesus can take you from death to life? Okay? How many of you believe that Jesus can take you from broken to whole? Right? And how many believe that Jesus alone is the hope of the world? Okay? Now let me ask you this. How many people do you know in your life right now that need Jesus? And so I want to ask you two more questions this morning. Question one, who do you know that needs Jesus? And question two, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You know, I believe the enemy's placed this lie in our head with the thoughts that people don't want to hear about Jesus. And you see, that's simply not true in my own life, not just through the outreaches, but through my everyday at the grocery store, on a plane, wherever I'm at. I would say 8 out of 10 people I talk to, 8 out of 10 people I talk to are open to hearing about Jesus. Now, do they all give their lives to the Lord? No, but are they open? Yes. And it reminds me of a time when I was getting some sod, some grass put in my front yard back in my house. And so I hired someone to help me with it because I couldn't do it by myself. It's kind of a big project. So I was working with a guy named Joe. Now, Joe had no idea when he accepted the contract because you can work with an evangelist for a week. But Joe, anyway, he didn't know it was coming. So, but Joe and I were working together for about a week, and I didn't start preaching at him right away. You know, I let him get out of the car first the first day. But no. But I started to build this relationship with Joe, and I was praying every day. I prayed two things. God, one, I pray that you'll give Joe an open heart to hear the good news. And then the second thing I say, Lord, I pray you'll give me an open door to tell Joe about you. You see, I believe when you give God an open heart, say open heart. I believe he'll give you an open door. Say open door. So I was praying for Joe to have an open heart, and then God would give me an open door to tell him about Jesus. Well, finally, it was the last day finishing up our project and putting grass in our front yard. And I remember like it was yesterday. I was standing in the front yard of my house, and I said, Joe, we've been working together for about a week. You know, Jesus changed my life. He forgave me of all of my sins on the cross. He rose again from the grave. Jesus changed my life, and you know, he can change yours. And then I asked him a question. And being in a relationship and sharing Jesus, asking a question is a great thing to do. So I said, is it okay if I tell you about how Jesus can change your life? And I love when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of a heart. Joe took one step back in my driveway and just started to weep. He said, Reed, I've been with you this whole week. And I survived. No, he didn't say that. Anyway, he said, Reed, I've been with you this whole week. And he said these powerful words. I want what you have. I want what you have. And so right there in my driveway, Joe began a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And my friends, there's many people in your sphere of influence. When I say sphere of influence, I mean your neighborhood, your network, people in your family, your neighborhood, your work, your school, that want what you have. They want what you have. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to encourage you this morning that you and I have the greatest news of all, as John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, for God so loved Maryland, for God so loved Frederick, that he gave his one only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So who is that one person? Maybe there's many, but I want you to focus this morning. Who is that one person that you know that needs Jesus? And put their name there. For God so loved that he gave his one only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We need to have an urgency in sharing the gospel. I love what Charles Spurgeon once said. He was a great preacher of the 1800s in England. He said this, I love this quote. He said, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. What a word picture. He says, if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees. Let no one go there unmourned and unprayed for. You can see his passion for the lost, right? I mean, let's be realistic here. We live in a very broken world, don't we? I mean, there's so many people that are longing for hope, and they're looking in all the wrong areas. In fact, you know that Google recently released the top three most searched topics late at night, basically from 12 a.m. to about 5 a.m. The top three most searched topics in Google were 1, porn, 2, loneliness, and 3, suicide. Those are the three more searched topics at night because people are longing for hope. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the hope. I remember I was watching a YouTube video about this young girl. She's about 16 years old. And she was taking this post from her bedroom. And she was talking about how she's struggling with life. And she held up this sign. And I'll never forget one. And I saw this sign that she held up to the camera. And the sign said this: I have nobody. I need somebody. I have nobody. I need somebody. And shortly after that clip aired on YouTube, this precious little girl, 15, 16 years old, committed suicide. And you know, there's so many people out there that you know that have nobody and they need somebody. And maybe you're here this morning and you're like, Reed, I have nobody. I need somebody. I'm here to tell you that somebody is Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world that loved you enough to die on the cross in your place for your sins. The Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates his own love towards us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died, he was buried, but 3 days later, he rose again. And today, Jesus Christ is alive. And he wants to come in your life and give you peace, hope, and forgiveness. But he also died for your friends, your neighbors, and your coworkers. And there's many people that you know that are crying out, I have nobody. I need somebody. I have nobody. I need somebody. And that somebody is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. You know, I love this quote. Someone once said this. They said, every heart without Christ is a mission field. Every heart without Christ is a mission field. But they said this, every heart with Christ is a missionary. Every heart with Christ is a missionary. And so what I want to do this morning is we take a look from God's Word in Acts chapter 1. As we reach out in love, as we reach out in faith, not freak out, but reach out to love people enough to tell them about Jesus. And I say this often, I believe this with all my heart, my friends. The greatest way you can love someone is to love them enough to tell them about Jesus. Because you know heaven and hell is in the balance, right? Our God is mighty to save. But if you don't tell your first friends about Jesus, who's going to do it? I remember I was in Africa one time, and a pastor said this about being a witness for Jesus. They said, if not you, then who? If not here, then where? If not now, then when? So I want you to be thinking, who's that one person that God's put on your heart this morning? Maybe it's a friend, a neighbor, a coworker. Who have you God put on your heart that needs Jesus, and what are you going to do about it? So let's look at Acts chapter 1. I'll read verses 1 through 11. This is a great part of when Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He rose again from the grave, and he's getting ready to ascend back to the Father. And he gives the disciples one part of the Great Commission, you know? Like Matthew 20 talks about it, Mark 16, 15. But here in Acts, verse 8 is the verse I'm going to focus on this morning. But let's get there. Beginning in verse 1 of Acts chapter 1, it says, In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Verse 7. He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But, and here's the verse I want to focus on this morning, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." I love this passage of scripture. You know, someday Jesus is going to come back, right? And we're all looking forward to that day, all of us who know him as our Savior. But we don't know when that's going to happen. So in the meantime, let's be out telling as many people as possible about Jesus, because he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And I love when Jesus gave this commandment to go into Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We literally saw it being fulfilled here in Acts. We saw the work of evangelizing begin in Jerusalem in chapter 2, verse 1. In Judea and Samaria, chapter 8, verse 5, and throughout the remainder of the known world at that time, in Acts 8, verse 26. But see, like the apostles who were given that commission, we've been given the baton as well. Because people always say, well, Reed, the role of being a part of the Great Commission is for the pastor or the evangelist. I say, no, the Great Commission that Jesus gave is for all of his followers, right? And I tell people this all the time. I say, evangelism is simple. Fall so deeply in love with Jesus, you can't help but tell others about him. You see, I believe the key of evangelism is because we're so in love with Jesus, we can't help but tell others about him, right? Reminds me of the story of a little boy who came up to his pastor after speaking that morning at church. And he came up to his pastor, he kind of grabbed him by the shoulder, and he said, "Hey, pastor, I got a question for you." And the pastor's like, "Yeah." The little boy said, "Well, during your message, you talked about how I can invite Jesus into my heart." And the pastor's like, "That's right." Poor little boy got confused, he's kind of scratching his head. He said, "Well, you talked about when Jesus came, he was a man in a man's body. And I'm just a little boy in a little boy's body. If I ask Jesus into my heart, he'll be sticking out all over." And the pastor looked at him and he said, "Exactly. You see, I think the more that we're in love with Jesus, the more he'll be sticking out all over, right? Because Jesus said we're the light of the world and the salt of the world." But you know, when Jesus told us to be witnesses, right? That word witness is used 29 times in the New Testament. And the word witness and the word martyr are the same in the Greek. And if you look at the majority of the early disciples lost their lives for the sake of Christ. So we never said it would be easy, right? But here's the beautiful thing. I love how often when God gives us a command, he follows it up with a promise. You know, Matthew 28, which is the most famous Great Commission passage you look at, verses 19 and 20, Jesus says, "Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." But notice what he says at the end. He says, "But I'm with you," what? Always, right? Even to the end of the age. So here's the thing. You and I don't save anyone, right? It's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who works in people's hearts, convicts them of their sins, and draws them to the Savior, right? But it's our privilege. It's our responsibility. No, it's our joy, my brothers and sisters, to be his hands, his feet, his ambassadors, his messengers, of the greatest news of all, that God loves us enough to send his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and to rise again from the grave. It's so awesome. And I say this often. I believe the more time we spend with Jesus, the more time we want to spend telling others about Jesus. In my own life, the more time I spend with Jesus, the more time I want to spend telling others about Jesus, right? Luke 19:10 says, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." God loves lost people. He loves you, and he loves your friends, neighbors, and coworkers. So here's what I want to do. Let me ask you a question, first of all. How many of you have someone very close in your life? Maybe it's a son, daughter, friend, neighbor, family member, someone in your life that doesn't know Jesus. Let me see your hands, okay? All right, it's quite a few of you. So here's what I want to do. We just want to declare that person's name before the Lord this morning, that we want to see them come to know the Lord, and we want to see God give us an open door to tell them about Jesus, okay? So I'm going to count to three, and that one person that God's put on your heart, let's just shout their name this morning, okay? You ready? Okay, one, two, three. Andrea. Okay, I'll talk a little bit about my sister Andrea in a minute. But as we look at reaching out, not freaking out, one thing I want to encourage you is do what's called a missionary map. Okay, a missionary map, you know, Paul had missionary journeys, right? He went to Spain, Rome, other places, right? And so we too can have a missionary map, but the way I look at it is like having a map maybe through your neighborhood, or maybe a map through your school, or maybe a map that takes you to your local grocery store, wherever that is, or to your favorite coffee shop, or to your place of work. But you see where I'm tracking with the missionary map? Somewhere that you're going where you can be praying through, looking for opportunities. And what I try to do is the same gas station I go to in good old Salem, Oregon. I try to go to the same gas station where I can continue to build a relationship with the same gas station attendant or the same checkout person behind the register at my local grocery store. But you see where I'm going? Building those relationships. Because I believe a key to evangelism, effective evangelism, is relational evangelism. Building relationships with people, loving them enough that you'll get invested in their lives, kind of earning the right to be heard, and asking God to reach that person for Christ, whether it's a neighbor, a coworker, or a friend. So that missionary map, just be thinking about that. But I love how the Greek word for power, where it says, but you receive power, say power. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And the Greek word for power here is translated dynamite. Isn't that pretty awesome? I got a good imagination, so I think dynamite just means, you know, just whatever, right? And just how the Spirit of God just powerfully works in and through us, me, and you to reach people for Jesus. Because remember 1 John 4:4, he who is in us is what? Greater than he who's in the world. Yes, there's a huge spiritual battle, right? But you and I have the victory through Jesus Christ because we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. So three things I want to share with you this morning about reaching out, not freaking out. The first thing is going here. Say here. Okay? But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Okay, Jerusalem is our local place, our here, our family, our neighborhood. So our neighborhood. So one of the most important things I tell people all the time, they say, well, Reed, how can I be effective in reaching people for Jesus? And the first thing I tell them to do is to pray. The second thing I tell them to do is to pray. And the third thing I tell them to do is to pray. Because when we pray, God moves, right? When we pray, God moves. When we pray, God moves. So I pray for the people in my life. I told you about my sister, Andrea. So I actually grew up in California. And so I came from a very unreached background. Got a hold of my heart at 17. And I gave my life to Jesus. My sister doesn't know the Lord. But I pray for my sister every single day. And I pray three things, and I'll encourage you with these three things as well for that person that God's put on your heart this morning. The first thing I pray, obviously, is that they'll come to know Jesus. The second thing I pray is that God will give me another, I talked about the open door, right? Open heart, open door, an opportunity to continue to tell my sister about Jesus. But the third thing I pray, which I think is strategic praying evangelism, is I pray that God will raise up another Christ follower in her sphere of influence. For example, my sister's a lawyer, so I pray that God will bring another Christ-following lawyer into her world that can share Jesus with her. Does that make sense? Because as we're all part of the Great Commission, you know, God can use someone, another student in your kid's class. So your kid's going to high school doesn't know Jesus. Pray that God will bring another high schooler or a teacher into their life to impact them for Jesus. So we're all on the part of the same team. Does that make sense? And I got some stories to go with that a little bit later. But praying, that's the most important thing you can do is pray. And I pray every single day. In fact, let me give you an example. I think I got a picture up here. Keep going. So, for example, I'm praying for my sister. But my sister has two daughters. So I have two nieces. One's Alice, who is six. So I speak a lot at U.S. festivals. And so I was preaching at a festival in San Diego. And I was preaching right before Newsboys. And it's right when, you know, God's Not Dead came out. And so my sister even heard about that movie. And I said, hey, I'm preaching at this festival. Can you come? You know, you can meet Newsboys, whatever. And so you want to come? She's like, okay, sure. Can I bring Alice with me? I'm like, of course. So my little niece Alice came. I was up there preaching the good news of Jesus. And at the invitation to receive Jesus, who do I see raising their hand? You can see my little niece Alice right here raising her hand to give her life to Jesus. And then my sister Andrea is just to the left with the glasses on. But it was so cool as I was up there preaching to see my little niece Alice give her life to Jesus. So I just want to encourage you, and people tell me this a lot. They say, well, Reed, you don't know my loved one. They're so far from God, they could never give their lives to Jesus. And I say, don't say that, because we never give up on people. Why? Because we never give up on God, right? And God can soften the hearts of hearts. So pray for my little niece, Alice, who now knows Jesus. I'm continuing to pray for my sister, but I want to just encourage you with that illustration that prayer is powerful. God saved my little niece, Alice. And I know he wants to use you to impact your friends for Jesus. So we want to reach our Jerusalem here. The second thing is going there. Say there. Okay, this is your Judea and Samaria. This is your network. Okay, this is your network. You see, Jesus changes everything, right? When I think about the joy that Jesus brings, I'm reminded of this girl named Emily. So little Emily was going to the doctor's office because she was having some trouble with her heart. And so the doctor did some exam, and he was very troubled by what he found out from the results of the exam. So he called in Emily's parents and Emily and sat him down in his chair. And the doctor said, "Emily, I'm so sorry, but your heart is very sick. We're going to have to open up and operate on it so you can live." The doctor couldn't believe what happened next. All of a sudden, Emily jumps out of her seat. She's so excited. The doctor's like, "What's going on?" She's like, doctor, that's amazing. Guess who you're going to meet when you open my heart?" And the doctor's like, "Who?" She's like, "You're going to meet Jesus because he lives in my heart." And I think of that childlike faith like little Emily, that joy in the Lord, you know? And I think for us as followers of Jesus, people always, you know, they freak out when it comes to sharing the gospel. But when we realize that hope, that love that we have in Jesus, I mean, just as we were able to worship the Lord this morning, that freedom, that joy, don't you want that for your friends? Don't you want that for your family? Don't you want that for your neighbors and coworkers? Again, it's reaching out in love, not freaking out, but reaching out in love, because we know, as Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do some things? No. I can do what? All things through Christ who gives me strength. So going there and having that confidence. Let me give you a couple ways you can be prepared. You know, 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord." Always be prepared. Say prepare. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But don't forget this last part. It says, "But do this with gentleness and respect," right? And I say this often. People don't want to be preached at. They want to be loved on, right? There's a big difference. Not to be preached at, but to be loved on. So being prepared. So how can you and I be prepared? You know, I wrote a book. I teach an evangelism class at a local college, Bible college, where I live in Oregon. And I wrote a book called Activate. And it's basically out of the 8 verses in Romans. And one of the great ways that you and I can lead someone to the Lord is to go through what's called the Romans Road. And the Romans Road, I'll give you the verses. For example, it's Romans 3:23 that says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Okay? Romans 5:1, I think that's next, says, "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And then Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And verse 10, "For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved." And then the 8th verse is Romans 10:13. "For everyone," say everyone, "everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So the key from that, you can pick up a copy of this on your way out. But the idea is you're leading someone down the Romans road to salvation based on the verses of Romans. Because I believe, how many of you still believe this morning that the Bible's God's word? Right? Amen? You know, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, it says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ." And God's word is our authority. I believe the Spirit of God, as you look at like Hebrews 4, talks about the Spirit of God using the word of God, which is like that sword, right? So the Spirit of God takes the word of God, uses it, like I said, to convict people of their sins and draw them to the Savior. So Scripture is our authority, and being able to quote Scripture is a great way to share the gospel. And so what I do is I encourage you to memorize those verses of from Romans. And what I'll do is I'll just write down a verse or two, put on a little piece of paper. You can put it on your phone, whatever, but kind of like to go old school and put a little piece of paper in my back pocket. And as I'm going throughout my day, I'll pull it out and look at that verse. And so within a week, I can usually memorize at least one verse. But it's a great way as you're putting the Word of God, because let me tell you this. I can't tell you how many times the Spirit of God has taken the Word of God that I've hidden in my heart and brings it from my heart to my head when I have an opportunity to share. It's amazing. And so I just encourage you to memorize God's word. Here's a second way you can be prepared. I believe one of the most effective ways to be a witness for Christ is called sharing your story, sharing your testimony, right? I was meeting a new friend here who was talking about how she's been going around, walking through the mall and praying and sharing her story as a way to witness to others about Jesus, which is so cool. So glad you shared that with me. But one of the great ways to do that is breaking down your testimony. You know, like Apostle Paul used his story many times. His testimony communicated the gospel like he did before King Agrippa and Acts. So sharing your story is a great way. Because another thing people tell me, sorry, I don't want to go three fast. I'm going to downshift here. I get pretty excited. Anyway, but one of the things that I remember often people tell me, they say, "Well, Reed, if I share the gospel with people, they're going to start debating with me, or, you know, how do I handle that?" I say, well, people can debate a lot of things. But one thing they can't debate is your own personal story, how Jesus changed your life, right? And we live in the world today of social media. I mean, everyone knows what's going on in our life 24/7, right? Whether we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it, we're letting everyone know what we're doing, right? We're very relational. We're very, let everyone know what's going on. So why don't we tell them about Jesus? And so sharing your story is a great way to share Jesus with others. And I say you can break down your testimony in three simple steps. Okay, the first step is what I call BC. Okay, BC is before you came to Christ. So what was your life like? What was going on? And I encourage you to memorize your testimony. Have a shorter version for maybe you're on, with someone at a coffee shop, maybe 3 to 5 minutes, and you can have a longer one as well. But within 3 minutes, you can pretty much communicate your story. So BC is before you came to know Christ, right? And the second thing is I call what your C. Your C, this is when you made that choice or that commitment to follow Jesus. Where were you? What happened? And then thirdly is what I call your WC. This is your walk with Christ now. So sharing your story is a great way to reach your friends, neighbors, and loved ones for Jesus. Because people want to know everything about ourselves, right? We talk about sports, whether it's the Redskins or, the Ravens. But why don't we talk to people about the most important one, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. So when I think about this idea of reaching your community, of reaching out and not freaking out, I'm reminded of this dear woman. We were doing a festival, a big outreach in a city. Actually, it was in Salem. And so we were training people, getting up to the festival, we were training people and sharing the gospel. And so when people made commitments to Christ at the festival, they'd help follow up with them. And so there's this dear woman, I'll never forget, this woman came up and she told her pastor, she said, I really want to help, follow up on people to make decisions for Jesus, but I'm so scared, I don't think I can do it. Pastor's like, you can do it, right? She's like, I don't know. So she went home and she prayed about it. She came to another training and she said, Pastor, here's the thing. Jesus changed my life. I'm scared, but I'm going to reach out and not freak out. And I know that God changed my life. He can use me to be a part of changing someone else by telling them about Jesus. Pastor, I'm all in. So she was placed in the children's area of the festival. The day came for the festival. She was really nervous but excited. She had her Bible, her pen, her fault material, and a breath mint, which is very important. And she's like, okay, Lord, I know you can use me. So she's sitting in the children's area at the festival just praying, okay, Lord, open heart, open door, open heart, open door. The evangelist is sharing the good news to Jesus, finally gives the invitation to receive Christ. He said, who wants to be, a follower of Jesus? Raise your hands. The woman's praying. She looks up. She sees this little blonde girl sitting there raising her hand. She goes, okay, Lord, here I go. She goes up, and God uses her to lead this little girl to Christ. Well, who is this little girl? It was my daughter, Miley. I know you're thinking, some evangelist you are, anyway. Yeah, anyway, no, I'm just kidding. But this dear woman reached out in faith, and God used her to help lead my little daughter, Miley, to Jesus. And me, the evangelist, is forever grateful for this woman, just an everyday follower of Jesus, going by faith to reach out, and God used her to reach my little girl, Miley. And if God can use this dear woman to get out of her comfort zone, he can use you, and you, and you, and you, and you. My friends, our God is mighty to save, and he wants to use you to make a difference for eternity. Okay, we talked about going here, going there, and finally going everywhere. Say everywhere, everywhere. Okay, let me say this. It's not always easy to share in the gospel. You might be up here saying, oh, we're reading, you think it's easy as an evangelist, but it's not easy. That reminds me of this time I was flying from South Africa all the way up to London. And we'd done some festivals there in South Africa, and I was one of these big planes where there's two seats, right? And so I get to my seat, I sit down real quick, and then I see some other people coming on the plane that I'd met on the way down, and so I was telling them about the trip. So I was like, hey, the festival is awesome. A lot of people came to know Jesus. It was amazing. So I get done kind of letting the plane know what happened, and I turn to this guy that was sitting next to me. He literally looked like Albert Einstein. I kid you not. And he had those thick eyebrows. I thought he was going to pull out his carry-on luggage, from one eyebrow, his book from the other. I mean, they were thick. I was like, man, how can you see that? Anyway, so I turned to that guy and I said, hey, my name's Reed. Nice to meet you. And you know that awkward moment when, the guy looks down at my hand? It probably was, 10 seconds, but it felt like eternity, right? And I go, okay, this is really awkward. And he's just looking down at my hand through those thick eyebrows. I said, my hand's right here. Anyway, he's looking down. And he looks up at me. He's got that great British accent, that Sean Connery accent. He says, listen here. I can't do accents, but I'll try. He says, I heard you talking to those people over there. It's best you remain quiet, or I shall become angry. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, Lord, I know you've got a sense of humor. I got 10 hours next to this guy. And if I say anything, he's going to become angry. Anyway, But this guy didn't give his life to the Lord. But I just sort of a little reminder, even for me, the evangelist, it's not easy. But here's the cool thing, right? That God has given us the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ and let people know the fact that God loves them with an everlasting love. You know, what amazes me as I've traveled around the world, people have religion, right? But they don't have a relationship with the living God through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's one of the most things, the thing I think that grabs people's hearts the most is when they found out that God is a personal God who wants a personal relationship with them and love them enough to send his son Jesus to die on the cross for their sins and to rise again from the grave. So how can you go everywhere? One of the great ways that you can be mission-minded to the ends of the earth is praying for people you know that are on the mission field. You know, I run into so many missionaries overseas, and they talk about how lonely they are. They feel abandoned or forgotten from their home church or the churches. So I encourage you, maybe if you know a missionary overseas, send them an email or a text, whatever, and say, hey, just want you to know we at New Life, we're praying for you, we're thinking about you. I mean, that's a great way to encourage them. Second way is you can go on a short-term mission trip. I mean, we do that. Abe went with me, and I know you here at New Life have opportunities, but I encourage you to get out of your comfort zone and go on a short-term mission trip and just see what God's doing around the world. But the main thing is to get in the game, to get in the game. Now, when I think about the urgency of sharing the gospel, my friends, I think about this story of a man who was visiting a church one Sunday, and he walked in, and he was sitting down, and the pastor was preaching at the time. And the pastor talks about the story of a man who took out his son and his son's friend on a fishing trip. And they're out there fishing, and all of a sudden this freak storm came in, knocked the two boys out of the boat, and they were kind of getting carried off to sea. The man who was in the boat had one life preserver. And he looked at his son, but he knew that his son knew Jesus, and he would see him again in heaven. But his son's friend didn't know Jesus, and he knew he was going to spend forever separated from him in hell. So he had a dilemma. Do I save my son, or do I save my son's friend? So the man ended up choosing to throw the life preserver and save the friend. After the message, this man came up to the pastor and said, Pastor, listen, I'm visiting your church, but you're crazy. He said, there's no way that a man would use the one life preserver to save some stranger or whatever, and not save his own son. The pastor said, listen, this man loved his son, but he knew that he'd seen his son again in heaven. But you see, he also loved this other kid because he knew that heaven and hell was in the balance. This kid didn't know Jesus and he didn't want him to die and go forever in hell. He wanted to give him another opportunity to hear about Jesus. That's why he saved him. And then the pastor said to the man, how do I know this story is true? He said, because I was that boy. I was that boy. And you see, if you look at that illustration, God did that with us, right? We were swimming in a sea of sin, right? And God sent his own son, Jesus, as a life preserver to die in our place for our sins on the cross and rise again from the grave. But my dear friends, you and I also have that life preserver. It's called the good news of Jesus. And you have friends that are swimming and need the hope of Christ. They're dead in their sins. They need to know about Jesus. We need to throw that life preserver to them and reach out and tell them about Jesus. So I'll finish with this last story about reaching out, not freaking out. So my wife, Carmen, loves to tell people about Jesus. And it reminds me of a time she was working at a deli, and she was earning the opportunity with a friend named Nina, who was her coworker. And so for many weeks as they're working together, they were building that relationship. She was praying for an open door, and Nina would have an open heart. Well, one day, God opened that door, and God used my wife, Carmen, to lead Nina to Jesus. Now, let's fast forward about 11 years. By now, Nina's married and has a daughter that's about 10 years old. And Nina's daughter's amazing. She loves soccer, a very good student and athlete. But one day, out of the blue, Nina's daughter came home and said, Mom, I'm not feeling good. Something's not right. So they took her to the doctor. Doctors couldn't figure out what was going on, and her health just continued to spiral downward and downward and downward until, tragically, this little girl ended up dying. It was so sad. So Carmen goes to the funeral, and I mean, I can't imagine losing a child, but there's Nina there sitting in the front row just crying her eyes out, and Carmen comes up, and Nina gives Carmen a huge hug. She says, Carmen, I got to tell you something. She said, 3 days before my little girl got sick, she came up to me and said, Mom, I know you've been taking me to church. I know you love Jesus, but I think I'm ready to know what it means to follow Jesus. Will you tell me how? And she said, Carmen, remember many years ago when we were working at that store together, that deli together, and you told me about Jesus? Carmen's like, yeah. Well, I gave my life to Jesus. And then my little girl saw Jesus in me. And right before she died, she gave her life to the Lord. And then she said these powerful words. She looked at my wife, Carmen, and she said this, because of you, I'm going to see my little girl in heaven. Because of you, I'm going to see my little girl in heaven. Now let's fast forward, and you're in heaven. You said, remember me? I was that crazy neighbor next door that had the dog always barking. No, anyway. Remember me? I was that neighbor that you invited me to New Life. You know that church there? Yeah, New Life. Well, you may not know this, but that day at church, I gave my life to Jesus. And because of you, I'm here in heaven today. Remember me? We were in school together. Remember we were playing on the football team. Remember that time you told me about Jesus? Yeah, well, I gave my life to the Lord. And because of you, I'm here in heaven today. Because of you, because of you, because of you. My friends, God wants to use your life to make a difference for eternity. Because if today's the day of salvation, if not you, then who? If not here, then when? Today is the day of salvation. And so I want to encourage us right now, let's just go before the Lord. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. And I just want to take a moment, that person that God has put on your heart, maybe it's one, maybe it's a couple people, but I just want you to take a moment and pray for them right now. Pray that God would give you an open door to tell them about Jesus, that they would have an open heart to come to know Jesus. And or God will also bring someone else in their life to tell them about Jesus. But just take a moment and pray for that person or people that God's put on your heart this morning. So let's pray for them right now. And with your head bowed this morning and your eyes closed, maybe you're here and you're like, Reed, I have nobody and I need somebody. Maybe you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus. You know, the Bible says simply that you're a sinner. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're separated because of our sins. But here's the amazing news. Because of God's love for you and by his grace, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross in your place for your sins. And that he rose again from the grave. And the Bible says in John 1:12, yet to all who received him, Jesus, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So today, maybe you want to begin a relationship with Jesus for the first time. Or maybe you know Jesus, but you haven't been living for him. Maybe this morning you just want to say, Lord, I just want to recommit to you. I want to be all in for you. So if either of those things are true this morning, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands on the count of three with your eyes closed and head bowed. One, two, three. Just lift up your hand where you're at. Thank you. I see your hand over here. Thank you. And over here as well. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand over here too. Awesome. Thank you. Over here. Thank you. Thank you. So with your eyes closed and head bowed, if you said that prayer or if you want to pray to begin a relationship with Jesus for the first time, I just want to encourage you in the quietness of your heart to say this prayer with me. This prayer is not what saves you. It's your faith in Jesus that saves you. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and believe that he died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the grave. So in the quietness of your heart, you can say this prayer with me. You want to begin a relationship with Jesus. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins and to rise again from the grave. Come into my heart and life, Lord Jesus. Thank you for giving your life for me, Lord. Now by faith, I surrender my life to you. From this day forward, use me for your glory as I live for you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. And Father, I want to thank you for my friends in this room, those that recommitted their lives to you as well. And I just want to pray, God, that they will grow in the grace and knowledge of your son Jesus as they live for you. And Father, I want to pray again for my sister Andrea. And I want to pray for all the people that you've put on our hearts here this morning, God. Maybe it's a family member, a friend, or neighbor. We just pray in Jesus' name, God, that your Holy Spirit would get a hold of their hearts, convict them of their sins, draw them by your love and grace and mercy to the cross, where they'll meet your son Jesus, the Savior and Lord. And so, Father, I pray you help all of us to reach out in faith, God, realizing that we're more than conquerors through you who loved us, that we're your ambassadors, God, that we can do all things through your son Jesus who gives us strength. So, God, here we are. Like Isaiah, here we are, send us. We give you open hearts, Lord. Give us open doors to reach the people you've put on our hearts this morning for you. Because we know you can do all things, God. So we love you with all of our hearts. And we're thankful for the cross. We're thankful for the empty tomb. And as your word says in Psalm 115:1, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. We love you, Lord, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, can we say thank you to Reed this morning? I especially love that thought of having a missionary map. That's a great thought, just to recognize in our lives those places where we can have encounters with people, to just keep building relationship and looking for opportunity to share Jesus. Thanks so much for that encouraging word, Reed, this morning.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.